Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's do a radio program. What say you? We are Grant and Danny. It is Wednesday, May 7th, 2025, and you are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We're over at Nats Park. We will be here in a dormant facility for the next 2.5 hours. We got a lot of business to tend to for you, including giving away tickets to the D.C. Defenders right around 6 o'clock tonight. That's a couple hours from right now. But, Danny, we have not gotten our chance to weigh in all day long because we're just now getting on the air to discuss last night's Washington Capitals tilt with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oof.
Game one to Carolina in a very decisive way. The shots on goal column, pretty telling, 33 to 14 in favor of the Hurricanes. The shot attempts even more so tilted towards Carolina. If you watch the game, you know what happened. The Hurricanes looked amazing. They were dominant. They carried play. They possessed the puck circuit to circuit. It was 2-1 in terms of offensive zone time. I don't remember that lopsided of an overtime game in my life. The fact that the Caps, A, scored the first goal, B, led after 40 minutes, C, led right around 50 minutes in,
yep,
and D, went to overtime, first off is a compliment to their goaltender, Logan Thompson, who was fantastic. Also, to some good fortune, there was some post-hit by Carolina, but they got outplayed and outworked, and they had better make some adjustments.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife last night. I did the post-game show here for the Nats, but was watching with Tobes in the press box on our computers, phone, etc. And she asked me how the hockey game went. And I said, that's really hard to answer. They went to overtime. Lost in overtime on a, you know, fluky hockey goal play, which happens in this league, a shot from the point. It ricochets between 11,000 different people, screen, a goal, that one of those dirty playoff goals that, you know, could have gone either way. But I said, I've never seen a more dominant 2-1 overtime victory in my lifetime. And she goes, what do you mean? They were winning. And I said, yeah, but come on. The post, I think, made 5 saves at one point for Washington. Thompson was excellent, which is going to happen in this series. But the thing that I was afraid of, I wasn't even afraid of it that much. I didn't think it was going to be that bad in terms of the way Carolina was going to possess the puck. It just felt like Washington was playing fetch. Like, if you ever get one of those dogs that's never tired and you just throw the bone and it runs and picks it up and brings it back, that was the Caps trying to get to center ice last night.
They
just digging it out of their own end. Yeah.
And when they did get the puck in their own end, they would immediately lose it generally.
Immediately.
In the neutral zone. They were sloppy. First period was very strange. They look like they hadn't played in a week, which they haven't. But you can't really say that's an excuse because Carolina hasn't played in longer, and it didn't seem to bother them any. But the Capitals, I don't know if you noticed this, you know, how closely you were monitoring on the phone or whatever. I counted 6 or 7 guys that, like, fell while skating for the Capitals in the first period. Fell. Like, what is that? They're slipping and sliding. I know it's the spring and you're in an arena and the ice might not be great. It wasn't happening for both teams. But, you know, some pucks that were rolling and some bad fortune early. But I think you just got to look in the mirror and say, you got your teeth kicked in a little bit. That was the Hurricanes playing their best game and you playing as bad a game, not only clearly their worst game of this postseason through six, but probably that they played offensively in many, many postseasons and years. They got all of 14 shots on goal against Frederick Anderson. That's the entire night. That cannot happen. Just as an example, Carolina had 12 in the first period. I thought the second period was actually very even for the most part. The Capitals had the 1-0 edge in scoring with the Protus goal. The shots were 8-6 in that period. Hockey kind of happened. You know, the ice was tilted still a little bit in Carolina's favor, which is going to happen. It's why they're beloved analytically. But the first period was a mess. The third period was a disaster. And then it was only a few minutes of overtime, but it was just impending doom. It felt inevitable.
Yeah.
Even going into overtime, all you could hope was fluky thing happens and they steal a game they really don't deserve to win, which has happened over the years so many times to them,
mm-hmm.
where they've outplayed a Penguins or a Rangers team, and then the Penguins get one rush, and despite being outshot by 15 or 16, you know, they pot a goal on a backhand breakaway, and they win a 2-1, 3-2 playoff game. And the Caps had a couple of those chances, by the way.
They did.
When it was 1-1, Ryan Leonard got a breakaway in all alone. If he scores with about 5 minutes left, they're up 2-1, and we may be talking about a 1-0 series lead right now, despite being outplayed all night long. But you miss those few opportunities you're going to get. You don't take advantage. And when you get outplayed like that, you're just waiting to bleed out by paper cut.
There was one time during the telecast where, again, it wasn't shots on goal. It was shot attempts. Since the Protus goal, right? So I can't remember the exact unit of time. But since Protus scores, by the way, an amazing play by the big man. That was pretty. That was just incredible.
I was very happy with him there. Almost as happy as I was mad with him on his turnover that led to the goal that tied the game, because that was just an unforgivable pass to the center of the ice that led to the goal. So he giveth and he
takes
away.
I agree on both.
But to your point, that snipe is the dream. That's why he became a star.
Yeah, just with the go-go gadget arm reach that nobody else can do, just flicks it to himself, and that was an incredible moment. But after that goal, it was a 44-6 shot attempt run for Carolina, and several of those, of course, landed on net. It's one thing to say, okay, yeah, Carolina's not afraid to pepper the net with pucks. They're going to try to keep chipping away at you, and that's fine. So they're going to have a shot advantage. To that level, as you said, this was inevitable.
Yeah.
Everything about this just felt like Carolina's winning this game. It's just, you know, when it happens. Like, we could do it soon. We could do it later. They were the better team for the overwhelming majority of that one. So before the series started, you and I both posited. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But we're both going, Carolina should be favored.
Yeah.
They're really good. They've earned it. I understand that. That is a good team. It's a good matchup for them. Why are they so heavily favored? Why do the Caps have the worst odds to get to to win the finals, to get to out of the Eastern Conference, to win this series of any team left? After that first game, I'm worried that I get it now. That's my fear is, I go, yeah, well, actually, maybe I understand the way Carolina is. It had nothing to do with the way they finished the regular season, losing 7 of 8. But there's something about this playoff, this ramp up that they're doing. Man, oh, man, was that impressive. They were dominant.
So there's no doubt that in that game, it looked like a Stanley Cup favorite against the team that's left that has the worst odds. I still don't think that makes any sense for the actual odds, right? As predictive as those can be, it's also got to be based on the merit to that point. And the Caps, who are the best team in the East and the second best team in hockey and top five in goals scored and allowed, had just gotten out of the first round with more ease, frankly, than Carolina did, because Carolina went to 2 double overtimes in their series and went the same number of games. So I will always not understand that logic, because it's not as predictive as it is reactionary, in a sense, on the market. Having said that, yeah, it didn't look good last night. There's panic setting in, and it wouldn't be this Caps fan base if it wasn't. I remember all of the comments I got every step of the way through 2018, too. And most years, you guys will be right, because you don't get to win a cup every year. But every single year, this will be the result. When they go down 1-0 or when they have a bad playoff game, and they happen, hopefully not as bad as last night or as lopsided as last night, you know, the comments are that they stink and they're old, and I'm getting that they have to rebuild, which is comical. I hear that every year when they lose in the playoffs. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. They've got a good young system, a ton of cap space opening up, and then exploding salary cap. But, yeah, this is a good time to hit detonate for sure when you're down 1-0 against the Hurricanes. But I'm looking forward to seeing what adjustments are made. You got the coach of the year on your bench in Spencer Carberry. He's got to go earn his money now. He's going to win the Jack Adams Award for being the best coach in hockey this year. And he's got his work cut out for him. Because the fear that I had about this being my scariest matchup, the team, I don't fear Florida like I fear Carolina. And Florida's a better team, probably. Carolina, frankly, and the Capitals, while different in their styles, are not that different in terms of quality. But there is something about this matchup, and it's just always kind of been this way in recent years, where the Caps get Carolina's best shot. They typically allow them to dictate terms. And on top of that, they almost it's I don't want to use the word fearful, but it's like they're so scared to be aggressive and try to go be active offensively. They're so trying to be so buttoned up defensively that you're just waiting for something to happen, and they got to move the puck. They got to get up. They got to go. They got to skate. They got to try to act like you're good too. And when they play Carolina, for some reason, it just feels like they go into the matchup going, we're playing the Canes. Let's batten down the hatches. And I wish it wasn't that way, but it certainly played out that way in game one. That was for an overtime game, which if you want to look at it that way, you can. That was as David Goliath for 60 plus minutes feeling as an overtime game has ever been. And it's not even that. It's not like they scored a fluky goal to go to overtime.
Right.
They scored first. The Canes never led for 1 second in the game. Think about that. Mm-hmm. They won the game to go up 2-1. They did not have a single lead last night, despite how they played.
Yeah, which is wild. And, you know, I was hoping that it's never a great spot to be in when you're hoping, hey, the thing that's ruined my spring so many times over, that fluky goal when I outplay the opponent, maybe that'll happen for me.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so as Carolina was getting maybe more and more frustrated.
Especially on home ice, Danny.
Totally.
Like, if you're there and they're outplaying you like that in game one, you go, okay, we got to get one of these two games, come back 1-1, take care of home ice. You know, you haven't played in a week if you want to use that excuse. They didn't seem to want to use that excuse as they played an amazing game rested. But, you know, however you want to make it make sense in your head. But when you're at home, you kind of have to put the hay in the barn. So it is even more impactful because now, in addition to losing the game, the Canes are one of the best teams in the league on home ice, and you've lost the home ice advantage in the series. You just made it a little harder for yourself.
And you know, I'm sitting there going, am I really going to be able to steal four games from this team? Right, because that's as you're watching the game play out. I got to know it's one game. It's not necessarily does the series make, but I'm going. Can Logan Thompson do this four times where you get a lead, and you hold on for dear life for 45 minutes or whatever the heck it is? And they weren't able to last night, of course. That you know, it wasn't the seven or eight chances that Carolina created that hit post. The Thompson made a great save. It was the god awful giveaway finally deep in their own end. But to me, that's thematic of the evening. All the things that you and I both want to rise to the challenge, to punch back at them, so to speak, not literally, but figuratively, to get the pucks deep, et cetera, they can't get out of their own end for minutes at a time.
Well, somebody said to me, I can't believe the Caps didn't hit them more last night. And I said,
there's no chance to.
How do you hit someone when you're not near them? Like, they're hitting you more. They had more hits than the Caps.
Because all the offensive zone time. So that's when you get your hits. There's some, the occasional open ice, this, that, and the other. But when the puck is deep and the defensive are going to dig it out, the forwards are pitching back down to help out. That's when hitting time is.
Correct.
When you can't get it deep for periods, when you've got 3 minutes of offensive zone time in a 20-minute period, numbers approximate, not many chances to hit people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and generally, the team that doesn't have the puck gets the hits. That's actually the way, you know, that hits always work because you go, man, we're out hitting them. That's awesome. It's actually not awesome. They've had the puck the whole game. So the fact that they had the puck the whole game and they out-hit the Capitals is alarming. I actually thought there wasn't enough snarl for two teams that despise each other, which they do, for two teams that had 100 PIMs in one period, if you remember back
to
1 month ago on like April 5th, division rivals. There was not a single skirmish after a whistle until the third period last night. Probably by design. Maybe Spencer's been in people's heads going, don't get dragged into anything stupid. We have to stay out of the box. They'll kill us if we're in the penalty box. But I needed a little bit more just pushing people around and getting under people's skin and, you know, bumping a goaltender coming through the crease after a whistle. You had none of that last night. The fight that you look for after the whistle, and I don't mean physically fighting people, but just the little things that every team does. Even the Canes weren't doing it. I was shocked. I thought it would be after every whistle all game, people getting separated, people getting dragged to the box for matching minors or whatever. And you just didn't see it. So there was a lot about last night that was surprising to me, that was disappointing to me, obviously. Now, here's where I will lose people. I'm going to lose you here.
Okay.
You will disagree, and that's fine. And I think most people are going to hear what they want to hear and act like this is some excuse making. We've just spent roughly 18 minutes talking about how badly the Capitals played and how well the Hurricanes played. The Hurricanes win the game that was played last night, I would say 80% of the time, maybe more. They deserve to win in overtime. I think that the narrative of last night is being overblown just a tad. And what I mean by that is Carolina's style, Danny, is to take 1 million shot attempts. It's not quality shot attempts. What they do is possess the puck. That's the problem. Not the shots, in my opinion. The problem last night is that the Caps never shot the puck. The problem last night is that the Caps never had the puck. So we could talk about that. But everyone's doing this thing where they're looking at the numbers and it's 90-plus shot attempts to barely over 30. The Hurricanes shot about 37 shots per game in the first round. They're a high-volume shot team. Philosophically different than Washington. Washington is a high-danger opportunity team. They're going to pass up shots, maybe to the fan base's frustration at times, because they're looking for getting the goaltender moving. Carolina's kind of old school in, throw that puck toward the cage, let Logan Thompson catch it, and let's have a face-off. And so the attempts just pile up. I don't really care as much about that as high-danger chances, right? I don't care as much about that as scoring opportunities. The scoring high-danger chances last night were 14-12 in favor of the Hurricanes over the Capitals. Very, very different than shot attempts, shots on goal, you know, all of those things. So the high-danger scoring chances, that's the area I look at and say, how did the game play out? Shots in the slot, which were very similar. I think it was like 7 apiece. I don't know that it was quite as bad, maybe in terms of, like, they had 90 attempts. It wasn't like they almost scored 7 goals. What Logan Thompson wasn't standing on his head making ridiculous saves one after another. But I want to get thoughts on that from you and from our listeners next. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Just getting started from Nats Park. The Caps find themselves down 1-0. They're coming back home tomorrow at Capital One Arena for game 2.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Did they just out-execute you guys tonight as far as breakouts and doing all the little things that go into winning a game?
Vogues, if we sat here and went through the whole game from breakout to getting through the neutral zone to forecheck to wall play, we could – it wasn't good, and that's the bottom line. Our entire game was not good, and we'll like I said, we'll regroup and we'll get ready for game two.
I don't remember a post-game presser with Spencer Carberry where he was more bothered, irked, irritated, displeased, just put out to be there. He hated everything about his team's performance, you could tell. And I think I get it. It was not a particularly good performance. In fact, the Caps were bad last night. The Hurricanes were great. And somehow the game went to overtime. Do you take any solace in that? My wife just texted me and said, you know, they played such a good game, and you're saying how bad the Capitals were, and yet they needed overtime. That's got to frustrate them a little bit, too. There's something to that, but to me, the story is not that. That is a chapter 7 that's only a couple pages long in this book. The book last night was, my God, the Hurricanes are a problem, and the Caps have a lot of adjustments to make.
Yeah, I think of we were here at Nats Park, so to use a baseball analogy, you lost, 2-1, but the 27 outs the other team got were all line drive missiles that literally went at somebody. And it wasn't my pitching staff that did it. They caught a lot of barrels.
And they stranded runners in every inning.
Bases loaded every time. That's how it feels. There's no solace for me in this one.
So go back to my point at the end of the segment, and we'll get to the calls in a moment. 800-636-1067. To clarify, Caps bad, Canes good last night. Lopsided. Canes should win that game 80%+ of the time. But everything I'm hearing is shot attempts. Shot attempts miss the net. Shot attempts get blocked and are lazy into someone's feet, too. There were 90-plus of them, and only 30-ish got to the cage on Logan Thompson. And on top of that, I just care more about where is the shot from in terms of the slot where they scored their game-tying goal from high danger. Beat Logan Thompson for the first time all night. Or one or two of those that rung the post in more dangerous areas. They gave up way too many of those chances. They gave up 14 high-danger chances last night. As an example, they gave up the lowest, 24, to Montreal in 5 games in round 1. That's too many. But they also had 12. They were minus 2 in that. When you look at slot shots at home plate, and around the most dangerous area of the ice, it was almost dead even. So while, yes, they got dominated, while, yes, if they play that game 4 times, they probably get swept. I don't think they will play that game 4 times. But if they do, it's going to get ugly. I think it's a little bit overstated because Logan Thompson was great with the glove.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was sliding all over, pad save, Holtby the save. There weren't 10 Bell saves. He was just really good and in the right spot quietly all night long. They threw a lot of pucks at him, and he made the stops.
So what's the question? Are people getting this wrong?
Aren't we overrating a little bit of like how bad it could have been? I've been hearing callers and people on the radio going, that game should have been 8-1. No, it shouldn't have. The expected goals in this game yesterday are 3.5 to 2.8. There weren't a ton of great opportunities. Now, again, if you want to say they hit some posts, whatever, that happens. That's part of it. The post may have gone in. It might have also gone 2 inches and just missed the net altogether and not even been a shot. The Caps were bad. They lose that game. But this idea that it's the attempts that bother me. They're playing a team that just their philosophy is to shoot from their bench. Their philosophy is to shoot from center ice. It's an attempt. It got blocked in front of the cage. Look, the goalie stopped the rolling puck that I barely get to him. That's what they want to do. How many times did they almost score? That's what I care about. And those were 14-12, a much more even game than people think.
Yeah, I think you're going to disagree with me, but this is what I would do. Like, in the regular season, it's more valuable over 82 games to do the high-quality scoring thing. I want this, the speed, the relentlessness, because it's all part of the method of the madness. You win. At one point, it was about 60% of the faceoffs. The Caps evened it up towards the end, but it still was 55-45 in terms of faceoffs won. Just it's more time in that offensive zone. We're starting defensive zone draws. So, yeah, even if it's not the greatest opportunity, you force the Caps to block 32 shots, usually leads to more possession. You force Logan Thompson to use the catcher's glove, more offensive zone starts. The whole point is it's just waves crashing on the shore, and the inevitable results are what happened. So this is the thing that I've been afraid of because it's been done to me so often.
Right.
But these types of teams
don't win very often. Like, the Hurricanes have nothing to show for this era right now. They win a playoff series every year, you know, but the speed teams like Edmonton, you know, the speed team, the Colorado Avalanche are the fastest team in the league. You preach speed. I also love speed. Speed's great. Heavy often beats speed in the playoffs, but I'd like to be both. The Caps are a big team with a little bit of speed. The Canes are a super fast team with a little bit of size, but the Avalanche are at home right now because the bigger team, the Stars sent them home. And you look at like who actually wins and when. The hardware's not there. But look, last night is what we're talking about.
Right.
The Canes whooped their butt. The question is, was it a one-night issue, or is this a matchup that's going to get away from them? I mean, look, they've played five times this year. Nothing has resembled that. So I'll take solace in the fact that with a really good coach in Carberry at home, they get back to the drawing board, and they play a much better game tomorrow. The problem is that doesn't get you anything, because you could play a lot better and still lose and be down 0-2.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I don't know how many fixes there are. There's only so many ways you can say – get the puck out of your own zone. I think Carolina is, you know, they're always there. System is because it's not just open. It's not a race. It's not a speed race. We're going blue line to see who's the quickest or whatever. It's the fact that wherever you want to go with the puck, they're already there harassing you. They force you into those bad plays
on nights like last night.
I think that's who they are. I think that's who they're going to be in this series as the Caps are going to labor to get possession, to get some of those quality chances.
The Devils, who I think were the worst team to make the playoffs in the East, took them to double overtimes twice in a five-game series. I guess I just don't view them as this team that doesn't bleed, like it seems like everybody else does now. They're a terrible matchup. Said that going into the series.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Who knows how they'll fare against Florida or whoever they meet in the next round, but I think they're going to the next round.
And part of it for me is it's a mental thing. The Capitals don't back down from Florida. They go into that barn and they score goals and they play them better, and it just seems like for whatever reason, Carolina is a bugaboo for them. There are teams that just have certain clubs where they often don't play their best game. Some of that I think is the physical matchup, and some of it maybe is mental, but they just got to clean it up in the defensive zone. And you mentioned, like, what can you do differently? We'll talk to Joe Beninati about this coming up at 5 o'clock, but they got to move the puck. The puck's faster than the skater. Like, I bumped into Joby after the game last night, and we were talking about this. Standing behind your net and waiting for things to happen, move the damn puck. You got to keep it moving against this team. Let's go to Will and Stafford on Grant and Danny to get things started. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing good, man. Thanks for taking my call. I got to agree with Danny. I think Carolina's our kryptonite. I mean, they're there before us on the dasher boards. You know, in hockey, they say get pucks deep and put pucks on net. And when you put pucks on net in the playoffs, especially with traffic in front, it hits a hip, it hits a shoulder, it hits a leg, and it deflects in. They had a couple pipes last night. They shanked a couple one tees. Nothing drives me more insane than trying to clear the puck up the slot, especially on the penalty kill. You know, John Carlson, love him to death. All-time Caps defenseman, but he's been fumbling a lot of pucks in his own zone.
Totally.
You know, Carolina, they're just their speed, their secondary scoring. Oh, you know, we've gotten better with speed, you know, Leonard, Duhaime, Mangiapane, but it just, they're just there quicker, you know, and it's tough. It's going to be a tough series. I almost went to bed after the third period. You could sense it coming in overtime. You know, it was a tough one to stomach, but you know, hopefully they'll bounce back. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you, buddy.
You. Let's go to Kurt, who's in Ashburn, on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kurt? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I would have everybody remember that at the end of the 2018 season, Holtby was looking bad, so we started the playoffs with Grubauer. We lost two at home to Columbus and looked terrible doing so. Like a lot of other people thought, well, this doesn't bode well. This may be bad news. And as a matter of fact, we had to come from behind in every series and won the cup. This is way too early to panic, guys. Way too early.
I agree with that sentiment for sure. It's one game of a best of seven. And this is what happens, whether it's baseball. We've seen it with the Nats in these five-game series in the DS or seven in the CS World Series when they're down 3-2 against the Astros and everyone's talking about spring training. it's normal. It's natural. It feels so much bigger, but it is a game. The problem for me with this game is not that they lost, really. It's how they lost. It looked so discouraging.
So lopsided.
And like they were just not involved, which was never the case against Columbus. But I'll have a better feel after game two like everybody else, but I think they just played their worst game of the series. If not, then this will end pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'd like to reference 2018 also. You can reference 2019. So every time a team gets off to a bad start for baseball, it means they're going to win the World Series at some point. 2018 was miraculous, the way that they were able to keep coming back. They got swept last year in the first round. So, like, do I get to evoke that one also? I mean, I think everything's different. We're sort of talking about...
I think he's just talking about that winning the first game of a series is not the end all be all.
Of course.
The Hurricanes lost the first two games of the series to the Caps and were down 3-2 in 19, which you just referenced, and won the series.
Right. Absolutely. I guess kind of my point is, looking at this matchup right now, this minute, I don't know. Again, I'm not a hockey strategist. There are people who've forgotten more. Joby's forgotten more this morning than I'll know my entire life. But the formula that Carolina has, I think, is the Caps kryptonite. And that's the thing I'm most worried about here is – you could draw whatever up you want. I'm hoping there are fixes. And if so, I can't wait for tomorrow night to see him.
Caps elite player of the game time, Danny. Got a single somebody out who shine. It's presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation. Let Elite Power and Energy install a backup generator for you and fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7 service, complete and powerful solutions. Elite Power and Energy Corp.com. Your elite capital of the game was...
Logan Thompson is my answer. This could have been a lot worse if he wasn't on his game last night. Just to get, I know the volume isn't always the end all be all, but you know their whole point is they're going to keep poking you and bothering you. It's like a boxer with a soft jab or something. They're constantly feeling you out, looking for that weak spot. And if you don't crack, you keep the team in the game. I thought Thompson's the answer.
Matt Roy, I thought, was amazing. He was on ice for 26 minutes, 40 seconds last night. Had 30 shifts, blocked a team-high 6 shots, and the Caps blocked a million shots, being
32 last
in their
night,
own
right?
end. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Had a couple of hits as well. Now, he was on ice for the game winner in overtime, had the puck to try to play it along the wall behind the net, but 0 giveaways for him. Maybe they're going to help the Capitals resuscitate them in this series as everybody thinks they're down and out. Hopefully they've got the defibrillators on that
fire. Get the paddles going, yeah.
Over there. Clear. All of our Caps coverage on G&D today is brought to you by our friends Astrim Carpentry. 25 years, Astrim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey, and hassle-free. Contact Astrim.com today. Astrim, the home builder's trade partner. Was that just a bad game, or do you feel like this could be a series that doesn't bode well for Washington the way the Canes played last night? That's the question on G&D.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spencer, you mentioned a litany of issues, but the physicality one, I think going into OT, they out-hit you 42-30. Was that a little surprising to you, being that you guys seemingly had that advantage coming into this series?
Well, you're chasing a lot, right? So that's even surprising because they had the puck so much. So usually when you don't have the puck, usually you're initiating contact to try to get it back. So, but like I said, establishing a forecheck is usually where you get most of your contact, and that was essentially non-existent.
Spencer Carberry was just a salty dog last night.
Ticked off.
And he should have been. Hey, play cut three. Carbs at his most irritable in the press conference. I'm pretty sure this was one of his couple of answers that were like one word, but he was asked, he was told what Tom Wilson thought of the game and if he agreed. Anytime he got the out of a yes or no question, Carberry, who normally is willing to expound upon things and let me educate you on hockey a little bit, just Mr. Nice Guy, he was taking that yes or no opportunity.
Tom said he felt like you guys were just a little bit off all night. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah. Yeah, that's accurate.
So good.
I don't have a single follow-up to that.
How about this one? The cut one, Darris, when he's talking about Were the Canes what you thought they were, or did you get surprised?
Spencer, you talked about how well you know this opponent. Is that exactly the kind of game you would have expected them to play, the style?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the answer. Then there was several seconds of awkwardness, and then someone else asked. And he's normally a very, very garrulous, accommodating guy. How about cut six here on Logan Thompson?
Coach, can you at least talk about LT's play?
Thought he was fantastic.
That was the answer.
Okay. I guess that's...
I mean, if you don't think he wasn't ready to go watch the film and just get after some people's asses this morning, I don't know what to tell you. Now, it sounds like you've got him playing the 1980 Russian team and there's no answers to be had and they can't skate with the Hurricanes, who they beat twice this year. But they're going back to the drawing board with the coach of the year, so we'll see what they can come up with. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to hop in on Grant and Danny. We'll go to – let's go to Jonathan Manassas on line six. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. The Canes, Carberry, in a sense, is right with the short answers. I don't really agree with his answer on Wilson, but, of course, it's the only answer he can give. The Caps weren't a little bit off. They were knocked off their game. The Canes pretty much imposed their will for three periods. It wasn't like the Canes came out in the first period really strong. The Caps were a little off, but they regrouped in between periods and came out strong in the second. They didn't, you know, and in the third, they were perhaps their worst period. At one point, the shot attempts were 13-0. And you might want to diminish shot attempts, but they're a dictation of possession. And
correct.
Canes had like three times the possession the Caps did.
But yeah, that's the problem.
Here's the interesting thing about Carolina, though. When it came to even strength shot attempts for the year, They were the number one team in the league. They had over 1,300. The second best team was Florida, who had 556 less shot attempts at even strength than Carolina did.
Yes.
Carolina was one of the best penalty killing, I think the best penalty killing team.
Number one, yeah.
Best shot. Yeah, they were the best team at suppressing shots, averaging only giving up like 25 shots on goal a game. And yet, the Canes were only a 99-point team. This is also a team that averaged over 3 goals a game. So what gives here? Why weren't they a 110, 115-point team? What's the weakness? What's the Achilles heel? Well, they gave up about 2.8 goals a game, which suggests, if they're only giving up less than 25 shots on average, that their goaltending was suspect all year. And yet we didn't test Anderson at all. We had one goal that was a softie, but we couldn't build on it. We had no response to their forecheck or their pressure. It was nothing we didn't expect. We've seen it all this year. We saw it last year with the same players. I mean, come on. Where was the response? This is 5 days rest, you know.
It's a great call. Yeah. I agree with every word you just said. And you lay out the numbers beautifully. I mean, again, this team was very good. They were one of the best teams in the East. But you just played 82 games, and they didn't – this isn't a President's Trophy team. They weren't even better than the team they're playing right now. They're on enemy ice games 1 and 2. But you can't figure out if you can beat their goalie if you don't get the puck to their goalie. 14 shots all game, Danny.
Yeah.
14 shots.
That way it was – dozens of minutes of real time between legitimate shot attempts on goal. And some of them, you know, weren't necessarily high quality chances either. So
15 minutes in game time between shots.
I mean, it's just insane to me. And again, that's my fear. You just outlined it. Whether you care about shots or don't, whether you care about it, the point is you can't do anything if you don't have the puck.
Yep.
Like, and Carolina's got the puck the whole time. And that's the fix. Whatever that is has to change. It's you're not going to outpossess them 55-45. I just don't think that's in the DNA of anybody in this series, really anybody that plays them. But it's got to be closer to even. I mean, the offensive zone time, just the amount of energy it seemed they had to expend just to clear it out of their zone. I'm not talking about, you know, whether it's a lazy icing or a rush the other way or like a chance created or even, you know, get the Caps into their offensive zone to run your cycle to get your, to make them tired. It felt like it was the world's greatest accomplishment just to clear the zone, just to get to neutral ice, to have them, you know, throw it right back down and start the whole process over again.
They didn't have one time last night, not one, where they had a shift, non-power play, where they were set up in the offensive zone for 30, 40 seconds, buzzing, cycling.
Yeah.
Passing, moving around. They had a couple of power play opportunities like that that didn't net goals. And they were okay. And their first power play, especially, they got 2 great chances. But as the game went on, 3 of their shots for the 14 all came on that first power play. But you're right. I mean, they just never got set up because they never had the puck and they could not get through the neutral zone. JR's in Boston. What's up, JR? How are you?
Oh, you know, living the dream. Normally, I'm a hater, as I've been named, whatever. But, like, I am not as concerned because all they did was prove me right. You know, that game last night. Because they played hard, as John had said, like, when he was interviewed for the Midday Show. But they didn't play smart. It's all between the ears. They've done this throughout the entire year. Sometimes it's a game. Sometimes it's a period. They did it last series, where they won 2, played like trash, basically helped Montreal with 4 goals, and then came back and crushed them the last 2. I fully expected after 5 days rest, because we know over the last decade, probably 2 decades, this team sucks after 5 days rest. They do best if 1 day off. And they had just did something they have never done before, is win the first round in 5 games. They were going to lose tonight. I bet you they come back and you see the normal Caps who come in and dominated the next 2 games. Whether they win or not, because of puck luck, who knows. I expect a very different team the next 2 games. And then I expect Carolina then to take their foot off the gas. If they win the next 2, Carolina win the 4th one, because this is what the Caps team does. They cannot stay mentally engaged 4-5 games in a row, period. They just have never done it the entire season.
That's interesting.
They've never done it for hardly their full games.
Yeah, so, it's like, been a long time. Thank you for the call, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
That I'd have to look up. I mean, the idea that like anybody wins 4 or 5 or plays great hockey 6 games in a row, I'd say that's pretty rare. You're chasing a little bit of a ghost when you're the number one team in the conference in terms of wins and points, and you know you're competing for the President's Trophy. So I don't know how much more you could have asked for in the regular season. But what the point I do agree with, John Carlson has said it as much on our air verbally. This team has not responded well to rest. Remember when he used to talk about, like, he hated the 3 and 4 yep. 5 day layoffs? He thought it was bad for
the weird early season schedules. Exactly. Always happens. Yeah,
he said we're at our best when we're playing every other day, yada yada yada. Well, the Hurricanes had to deal with that too, so I'm not using that as an excuse. But his point, McCullough's point, is true. It has been a bad thing for the Capitals traditionally when they get that type of break. There's no doubt about that. By the way, you can go vote on our 106.7 The Fan Grant and Danny poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. What is your level of concern after the Caps dropped game one of their second round playoff series against Carolina? Not concerned at all. I don't know how that could be the case. Slightly concerned or very concerned?
Put old Randy Duguay in the very category. Before the series started, I thought Carolina would win it. That hasn't changed. Just, I guess, you know, and how long it's going to take, maybe has. I was really disheartened by last night.
I kind of view every game of a series as its own entity. And based on that, I'll say slightly concerned. I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you my nerves are going to be frayed going into game two here. But I just think that that'll be the worst game that they played. And I got faith that Carberry can figure something out. Let's talk to Joe Beninati next. He's no longer on the call of these games, unfortunately. Monumental's run is done for the playoffs, but he is working at the desk for them pre and post. He was in the building last night. We'll get his thoughts on a game one setback on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.